Hey guys, I'm very excited for another episode show about science. This is your host, Nate, and today we're going to interview the author of a really good book called Maker Lab. And if you like to make a mess and do science at the same time, this episode's for you. So, can you introduce yourself, Jack?
Yes, indeed. Hi, I'm Jack Challoner, and I'm speaking to you from England. And I'm a writer, so I've written about 44 books now. I've been writing about science and inventions and technology for 25 years now. And my latest book that's out at the moment is called Maker Lab, and it's got 28 experiments for people to try at home.
I've been reading Maker Lab for a while, and I think it's a cool book and that children would like it.
Thank you.
So if you want children to have an example, then maybe you could talk about invisible ink.
Have you tried that one?
No, but I did try sticky slime.
Oh, lovely. Did you make a mess?
Kind of. I made a mess on my hand.
Oh, good.
So let's talk about sticky slime.
So the sticky slime, now there's lots of recipes out on the internet for sticky slime. And this particular one, we kind of developed to be without an ingredient that you might have heard of called borax. And borax makes a really good sticky slime. But people are trying nowadays not to use borax too much because it can irritate your skin or be not very good for you if you get any in your mouth. So we tried to avoid using borax. So In my kitchen, I tried about 10 or 15 different recipes of slime and made a real mess of the kitchen and eventually got this one. I think we used shampoo in the end. And
yeah, with shampoo.
Yeah, and cornstarch, was it?
Uh-huh, cornstarch.
And the cornstarch is good because the particles in the cornstarch sort of join together, and that's what makes it really stringy, and you can sort of stretch it, and that's what makes it really gloopy. You love science, don't you? And do you do some sciencey things at school? Do your teachers know that you're like...
Yeah, my teacher's a fan. She listens to my show.
Oh, cool. That's so cool. We didn't have podcasts when I was growing up, of course.
What?
So when I was your age, there was no such thing as a podcast.
What?
I couldn't have done what you were doing. I know. It's hard to believe. But there were no podcasts in the world when I was your age. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I didn't hear of anything like that.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? Because there were computers when I was growing up. But the internet was very, very young, hadn't developed very much yet, so people just couldn't connect to the internet. So there was no web pages, not until I was like 25 was there web pages.
Whoa.
And when my dad was your age, he didn't have electricity in his house. Because he was born a really long time ago, like 1912, my dad was born. So they didn't have electricity in the house when he was growing up.
Whoa, wait a minute. If only your dad had had this book, then he could have created electricity out of lemons. So, Jack, could you tell us about the lemon battery experiment?
Yeah, the lemon battery is very cool. If people listening haven't tried it, well, get the book, of course, but you can try it even if you don't get the book. You get some lemons and some copper-colored coins, so they've got some copper metal in them. In America, what coins would be good for that?
Pennies.
Which one?
Pennies.
Yeah, pennies. Yeah, pennies are good. Pennies are good. They've got copper in. And then you need some zinc, and for that you have a galvanized nail or screw, so a screw that's got zinc on. And if you were to go to the hardware store, you just ask for one that's been galvanized, and that means coated in this other metal called zinc.
Wait, pennies have copper and zinc in them.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's cool. But it's the copper that's the important thing, because then you have the nail or the screw that's covered with zinc, and it's the difference between those two metals inside the lemon that makes the electricity flow in the circuit through the lemon and around the wires, and it lights a little LED. Have you tried that one, or are you going to try that one?
I'm going to try that one.
Got to try it. So the book's Maker Lab, and I was in the States not so long ago. I was in America, and I went to the Maker Fair in New York. And at the DK store, we had the lemon battery working, and people could come by and see the little light, the little LED lit up. So you must try that. And you can try it with one battery and see if it lights up. Try it with, I think you need sort of three or four batteries for it to be bright enough. So that's a really good one, to make an LED light without even having any batteries or anything like that. You make your own lemon battery. It's cool. And it really works.
So how many experiments are there in the book? And which one's your favorite?
Well, there's 28 experiments in the book, so you can take your time and go through them all as you like. I think one of my favorite is those big balls of ice. I can't remember what page it
is. I love them. Icy orbs.
Yes, icy orbs. That's it, yeah.
I'm close to the icy orbs.
Okay, what page is it? You can tell me.
What page is it? 124.
124.
And 125. And 126. And 127. So, how do icy orbs get so colorful?
Well, so the icy orbs experiment is great because, first of all, you get to make a water balloon. So you fill a balloon with water and you leave it in the freezer overnight, maybe even two nights, just to make sure it's properly frozen all the way through. And then you sprinkle some salt on, and the salt causes the ice on the surface to melt, and you get these little rivers of water dripping down the ball of ice. And then you drip on food color as well. So then the food colors dissolve into the water and they flow down this ball of ice as well, and they all mix together and you get these wonderful patterns. And no two icy orbs are the same. And if you've got the book in front of you as well, then you can learn about why salt melts ice and why people sprinkle salt on the roads in the wintertime when there's going to be a frost, to melt the ice or to stop it from causing ice on the roads, which is obviously dangerous. So the science is good, and you get to make this beautiful ball of ice as well. So it's great.
I saw that you put the rubber Van Planet's experiment on the cover. I just found the rubber Van Planet in the book.
Uh-huh.
So how many rubber bands do you need?
Well, when I was planning the experiment at home and trying it out, I bought two bags, each containing 1,000 rubber bands. I thought I would need more rubber bands because I was going to try and do it with all rubber bands, but if you look in the book, you'll see there's like a rolled up bit of paper in the middle, and then the rubber bands go around it. So I didn't use 1,000.
Maybe like, what, 300, 900?
Two or 300, I think. I should count them.
Did you do any science when you were my age?
When I was, well, I was a little bit older than you, but I borrowed my friend's telescope, and so I used to look at the planets through a telescope. And if you've ever looked, well, you can start with looking at the moon through a telescope, and it's just beautiful. It's really good.
Do you know what the farthest thing is that we can see in space?
The furthest away thing you can ever see without a telescope or binoculars is called the Andromeda Galaxy. And it's 2.2 million light years away. It's about 100 times further than any other thing you can see. And if you look on the internet, you can find out where to see it. And every time I'm underneath a clear sky, I look out for the Andromeda Galaxy because it blows my mind just to know how far away it is. It's the furthest thing away you can see without a telescope. So will you check that out?
If there's one clear night in the USA a year. There is one clear night per year.
Oh, no. Do you live in the city, so you've got lots of lights around and everything as well?
Near the cities.
Okay, so you might be able to get out when it's a clear night, maybe sometime. Because in Britain, we have lots of clouds and rain all the time as well, because we're a little island. We're surrounded by the sea, and the air sweeps across and picks up loads of water from the sea and dumps it on Britain, on England. So England's quite a wet country. But when we do have clear nights, we do get to see the stars. Beautiful.
I was kidding about when it was for the entire United States. It's just for our state.
Ah, okay.
We're going to Tennessee, and in Tennessee, it's pretty much like always clear sky.
Oh, lovely. Oh, lovely. It's a really beautiful thing, isn't it, looking at the stars in a clear sky. I love it.
And a couple times every year around Thanksgiving, actually.
Oh.
I heard about this. You can see the Andromeda Galaxy up close.
Up close? With a telescope?
Well, medium without a telescope. Close with a telescope, but medium without.
Wow, it's a very beautiful thing, the Andromeda Galaxy. And so what, I heard your podcast the other day with a guy talking about ants, and that was really amazing. And that made me go and check out his YouTube channel. It's really interesting. And ants are just fascinating, aren't they?
He's going to be happy to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he's listening in. So I subscribe to his YouTube channel, which is good. So good for you for spreading the word of, you know, interesting stuff out on the internet, because there's so much stuff on the internet, and it's good to have, you know, people like you who are interested in interesting stuff to spread the word. So well done, you.
Thank you for being on my show, and could you tell people where they can find the book?
Okay, the book is available pretty much any bookstore, online bookstores or real bookstores. It seems to be selling quite well, so I hope there's people all over the country trying out all the experiments.
Thank you for listening, everybody. The show about science is complete. Dad, you can shut the recording off.